Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Let's take a look back into the archives of Atlanta soccer history with Atlanta Soccer Flashback. Flashback. With Jason Longshore on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome in to another edition of the Atlanta Soccer Flashback, where we dive into stories that shape the beautiful game. It's fitting that our last episode was about the 1986 World Cup. I hope you enjoyed that. It was a tournament that changed my life. I know it changed the lives of many, many others as well. Maybe I'm the only one from Riverdale, Georgia, who it affected in that way, but I can't say I'm unique in that Argentina and that tournament specifically, and the player who was so central to it in Diego Maradona. I'm not the only one that his performances, his story, his career, it changed lives all over the planet. And it's fitting that the last episode was about the 1986 World Cup. And here we are today on October 30th, 65 years after Diego Maradona was born. It's the story of perseverance. It's the story of dreaming. It's the story of a person who became so much more than just a great player. Today, this story is about Diego Maradona, a boy from Villa Fiorito who became the soul of the sport. A genius, a rebel, a dreamer, a man who carried his country, lifted a city, and just had a life that was way too big for one person to fully contain. This is Diego Armando Maradona, the beautiful chaos. Before the world knew his name, before the goals and the glory, there was Villa Fiorito, one of Buenos Aires' poorest barrios, a neighborhood of dirt roads, tin roofs, families who dreamed of something more. Diego grew up the fifth of eight children. His father, Don Diego, worked long hours at a factory. He worked on construction sites. He worked all the time. Diego would tell stories about how he would fall asleep in front of them just because he was so tired. His mother, Doña Tota, stretched every single amount of coins and pesos and whatever they had, stretched it to feed the family. Diego later said, "My parents gave us love and honesty. They gave up everything so we could live." They couldn't buy him toys, but one day his uncle gave him a soccer ball. And that ball became Diego's best friend. He slept with it under his arm, juggled it in alleyways, practiced until the streetlights went out, when there were streetlights. He said, "I wanted the ball to love me back." By 8 years old, people were already whispering about the tiny kid who could make the ball dance. At 12, he joined Argentinos Juniors youth team, Los Cebollitas, the Little Onions, led them on a 136-game unbeaten run. He'd go to the first division matches for Argentinos Juniors, and he'd entertain crowds at halftime by juggling. People would want him to keep juggling, and the second half would be ready to start. He was already a fixture and already making an impact before he was even a professional player. When he was a kid, Argentina had never won a World Cup. It seemed like an impossible dream for that to happen. It seemed like an impossible dream that somebody from Villa Fiorito could make it out and make it to those kinds of heights. But Diego was dreaming big. He said, "I want to play for the national team and I want to win the World Cup." Soon, the whole country would know his name. When he finally made it to the first team at Argentinos Juniors, he debuted at 15 years old in the Argentine First Division. He was told when he went into the match to just be himself and play his game, and if he got a chance to nutmeg somebody, to do it. And he did. He was unstoppable at Argentinos. By 17, he was the most talked about teenager in South America. Just amazing dribbles, the gambetas, audacious goals, crowds chanting his name. He almost made the Argentine 1978 World Cup squad at just 17 years old. Cesar Luis Menotti, the head coach, he called him into camp, but he left him off the final roster. Maradona said, "When I found out, I cried for days." He watched from home as Argentina won their first ever World Cup, and they did it without him. That rejection burned inside him and was fuel for him, for his bronca, his just the chip on his shoulder. You know, we talk about Michael Jordan, and we talk about how he was cut from his high school basketball team, and that fueled him even when he was 35 years old. That's the kind of competitor that we're talking about with Diego Maradona. The next year, 1979, he got his revenge in a way. He led Argentina to win the 1979 World Youth Championship, essentially the precursor to the U20 World Cup. It was in Japan. He was named the best player of the tournament, lifted his first trophy in that classic sky blue and white shirt. It was the first glimpse of destiny. By 1981, he had the whole country of Argentina at his feet. Everybody wanted him. There were European clubs circling. River Plate had all the money. The Millonarios, they wanted him. But Diego said, "I was born to play for Boca. I would have played for free." Boca couldn't afford him. Boca was nearly broke at this point. They scraped together loans and promises and had local business people chip in and found a way to get a deal done on installments where he would come to Boca Juniors from Argentinos. On his debut at La Bombonera, 70,000 fans chanted in unison, "Maradó, Maradó." He scored twice. I mean, come on. By season's end, Boca had won the 1981 Metropolitano Championship, their first title in 5 years. He was the king of Buenos Aires. Boca played friendly matches, exhibitions all over the world, trying to recoup the money they had spent and had promised to spend to get him in that Boca shirt. He wasn't there for very long. That's what's so amazing about it, because he's become so synonymous with Boca. But in his first stint there, he wasn't there long at all. By 1982, Barcelona had come calling with a world record fee. Boca couldn't keep him any longer. He had outgrown Argentina. They couldn't afford to keep him. They couldn't pay Argentinos Juniors all the money that they had promised. So Barcelona's deal became the way out for Boca and for Argentinos to get their money as well. He went to Europe as a superstar. The timing, though, was extremely cruel. That summer's World Cup, 1982, was in Spain. Argentina were the defending champions. There was a ton of pressure on them. The players were feeling the pressure of the military dictatorship. They were getting to see firsthand in media reports in Spain that they were not being told the entire truth about the Falklands War and that it wasn't going well for the country. That psychologically affected this team. They struggled with the weight of defending their championship, and they crashed out in the second group stage. Maradona was kicked. He was fouled. The match against Italy, just watch the highlights of that and watch Claudio Gentile just grab and hold and push and shove and provoke and neutralize Maradona. He hadn't really figured out how to handle those kinds of things at this point. He ultimately was sent off in frustration against Brazil. Retaliation kicked someone in an area of the anatomy that you shouldn't. He said afterwards he felt like the world was waiting for him to fail. And in a lot of ways, it probably was. Argentina was out of that tournament. It ended up becoming Italy that went on and won that tournament. And in that aftermath, Maradona started his Barcelona career. He was brilliant at Barcelona. There were just some incredible moments. Some of those highlights were just unbelievable of what he did at Barcelona. There's some amazing performances. There were trophies. There were goals. There was magic. But there was also a whole lot of chaos. He struggled with the physical nature of Spain's La Liga at the time. He battled hepatitis. He missed months of time with that. Then in 1983, a horrific tackle from Andoni Goikoetxea, the Butcher of Bilbao, as he was known. Well, the tackle, yeah, it looked like a butcher's tackle. It broke Maradona's ankle. It was never the same after that. It could never fully have the same range of motion after that injury. He came back. It changed his life. He came back. He said, from that day, I played with pain forever. The pictures and videos of later in the 1990 World Cup, how swollen his ankle was. It's hard to watch. It's hard to see. It's gross. But he found ways. He found a way to change his game. He found a way to handle these things differently. But at Barcelona, it was always going to be hard for him. The politics of the club, and you know, we talk about the politics of Barcelona today, they were just as bad back in the early 80s. You had the presidential cycles. The president at this time, Josep Luis Núñez, he wanted him gone. He didn't see him as someone that was of the right temperament, of the right status to play for a club like Barcelona. There was a kind of upper class feel at Barcelona by this point. And Maradona, a kid from the Barrios in Buenos Aires, didn't fit that. He struggled as well off the field with the injuries, with the illness, with hepatitis. He discovered cocaine in Barcelona. He talked about that later in his life. The parties, the friends, the hangers-on, the entourage. It all was too much for everyone, including Diego. By the 1984 Copa del Rey final against Athletic Club of Bilbao, against the team of the player, of the Butcher of Bilbao, he exploded after the match. The match was a farce. I mean, it was as nasty of a physical match as you could possibly imagine. You don't see the game played in this way anymore, thankfully. It was horrible to see the way that this game played out. Barcelona ended up losing. Maradona lost it after the match. I mean, everybody did. It wasn't just him. But there's famous video of a flying knee to a trainer for the opposing team. Huge brawl, shirts getting ripped. I mean, it was horrible. The king of Spain was in the stands. I mean, everybody was horrified by all of this. And it all fell on Maradona. He was suspended by the club. Spain turned on him. The club turned on him. He needed a way out. He needed a city that would love him for who he truly was. And he found one. And that city was Naples in southern Italy. On July 5th, 1984, the deal was done. And that was another situation where a club that wanted the genius of Diego Maradona had to beg and borrow and find a way to scrape together the money to bring him in, much like Boca did back in 1981. Napoli did the same. They found a way. Nobody expected it would happen, but they did it. And they introduced him at the Stadio San Paolo on July 5th of 1984 in front of 75,000 fans. There wasn't a match. There was no game. It was literally to watch Diego Maradona walk out onto the field at his new home for the first time ever. The videos of him walking up the locker rooms at the stadium were below. And the videos of him walking up the steps, when all you can see first is the photographers and the media around it. And then when you start to see the sky, it's one of the most breathtaking videos I've seen of trying to capture what fame is really like. It looks so suffocating. And I mean, there's looks on Diego's face where he looks afraid. It's crazy. Once he walked out onto the field and said a few words, he said, you know, he was happy to be there. Very simple. Somebody tossed him a ball. He juggled. Started to feel a little at home. There was a banner in the stadium that day that said, Naples, welcome to your new savior. The city of Naples, if you don't know Italian history and you don't know Naples, poor, proud, mostly ignored by the North, looked down upon by the North. When the Southern clubs would travel North, fans in Milan or Turin, they would wave fake money. They'd shout insults. If you've seen the Maradona documentary on HBO Max, the things that were said are horrible. Naples was treated like a stain on Italy's reputation. That's why Diego fit perfectly in Naples, and it was the perfect club for him to go to, a club that had never won anything major. He said, in Naples, I felt like I was back in Villa Fiorito. People had little, but they gave you everything. This was a city that, when he needed it, embraced him completely. And he wanted to pay that back. And he did. It took a minute, though. That first year, it was hard. 1984, 1985, the Serie A season, it was brutal. It was the most tactical league in the world. He talked about how he had to play at a different pace. He had to figure out the speed of play, and he had to adapt to it. He was pretty good. They finished eighth. They were in a relegation battle the season before. They finished eighth. He gave them belief. He had influence at the club, obviously, with everything they paid to bring him in. So he had ideas. He wanted to bring in some better talent. He wanted to bring in some very specific things. After the first year in Serie A, where he recalibrated his body and his game, he was in total command. He was fitter. He was smarter. He was probably fully recovered from that ankle injury. He was also obsessed because this season, the 1985-1986 season, was the season before the next World Cup. Maradona wanted revenge for 1982. He wanted revenge for not being there in 1978. He wanted revenge for what happened to him at Barcelona. He wanted vengeance for everything. And he carried Napoli to third place, which they had never been in these kinds of heights. Trained relentlessly for the World Cup in Mexico as his personal trainer, helped him, got him ready for altitude. He worked extra hours. He was driving to like really specific facilities to deal with altitude like he was going to face in Mexico, working extra hours on fitness and agility. I mean, the levels that he pushed himself to, it's crazy to think about now. But he was ready. And he went into the 1986 World Cup with belief. Nobody else had it. He was captain of this Argentine team led by Carlos Bilardo. Bilardo built the team around him, built the team in the way that Maradona wanted and needed. It was a good team. It was a hardworking team. It was a team without any other real major superstars. They were not fancied in the tournament. They weren't even really fancied by their own media back at home after the disappointments of 82. There were a lot of people who said that this team was not going to make it out of the group stage. Italy was in their group. They did. They got to the quarterfinal, Argentina-England, 1986, 4 years after the Falklands War. The tension, off the charts. Yeah, it had a factor in it, the Falklands War. Maradona said beforehand, Argentine players said beforehand, no, it's just a game, but it wasn't, and they admitted later that it wasn't. Look, the first goal against England, We talked about it on the previous edition of the Atlanta Soccer Flashback. It's a handball. Today's game, VAR picks that up. He's possibly red carded. You didn't have that back then. You had the street smarts of a player who saw that Peter Shilton was coming out and had his eyes closed and wasn't going to get there. And Maradona went up, head was there, hand went a little bit higher, punched it over Shilton into the back of the net. He said, a little with the head of Maradona and a little with the hand of God. That really upset a lot of people. Minutes later, one of the best goals of all time. Anywhere. But to do it in a World Cup quarterfinal. He picked up the ball in his own half. He dribbled 60 yards. He beat five defenders. He beat the keeper. It's the goal of the century. The gol del siglo. Argentina 1-2-1. They had to hold on. They got past it. They beat Belgium in the semifinal. I told you that's the first game that I saw in full that I planned to watch. I wanted to watch. I watched it. I wanted to beat Diego Maradona after he carried Argentina past Belgium in that semifinal. After the final, even more so. I wanted to be Diego Maradona. They went on to beat West Germany in that final. 3-2, one of the best finals of all time. Maradona with the game-winning assist. He lifted the World Cup at 25 years old. He said, it felt like the world was mine to paint with a ball. Back in Naples, they celebrated as if they'd won the World Cup. The headline said, we won. He was one of them. There were so many connections to Argentina from Naples. You go back through the history, there's a lot of very clear links in the old shipping trade. A lot of Neapolitans ended up in Argentina. There was a lot of shared culture. It was the perfect place for Maradona to go after Barcelona. And the next season, the 1986-1987 season, he did for Naples what he'd done for Argentina. He carried a very good Napoli team. They had built a very good team by this point. They didn't have the same kind of money as some of the powerhouses of the North, though. He carried a Napoli team to their first ever Serie A title and won the Coppa Italia, the domestic double. The city exploded for days, weeks, months. I mean, if you watch the documentary, it feels like Naples celebrated all summer. Murals were painted. Music, songs were written. Tears, joy, fireworks. A funeral home in Naples even hung a sign. You don't need our services anymore. Napoli has risen again. He said, looking back at it, in that moment, I felt like I gave the city back its pride. I think, personally, that 12 months of the World Cup, carrying Argentina to it, maybe the greatest single performance by a player in a World Cup to elevate a team. I think we've seen great World Cups from great players. I don't know if we've seen a great player elevate a team like Maradona did in 1986. And then to do the same thing in the best league in the world at the time, with a club that had never won, and to do a domestic double. I think it's up there with the greatest seasons in sports from any player. Any sport. It's that good. To do the World Cup, the best league in the world, and an additional cup, to be the best player, to score the goals, to create the chances for others.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Diego Maradona was on top of the world. And you guys know how that goes. When you're on top of the world, there's nowhere else to go up. You have to come down. It was good and bad after 1987 for Diego Maradona in Naples in the build-up to the next World Cup, which just so happened to be in Italy. After he's done this with Napoli, after he's done this with Argentina, he was a king in Naples, but he was also a prisoner of Naples. He couldn't go anywhere without a mob of people. He said he felt like a prisoner of his own fame. He was in pain. The ankle, again, was never going to be the same. He was kicked all the time in games. He was exhausted. He was also looking for escapes too much at this point. I mentioned he had already discovered cocaine by this point in his life. Being in Naples, as good as Naples was to him, it's also the worst place to be if you have a drug addiction. And by this point, Diego Maradona had a drug addiction. He had an addiction to the nightlife, the parties, the pressure, needing the escape, easily having it at your disposal. He was too famous in Naples. He was too powerful. He was also too human. He was a prop for the Camorra, the mafia in Naples, which was a very big part of Neapolitan life by this stage. They gave him everything. And when he was around them, it elevated them because he was that big. But he also, in a lot of ways, became indebted to that. And then he couldn't say no to it. And he couldn't say no to drugs. And he couldn't say no to the nightlife. And he couldn't say no to trying to find that escape. And it all eventually caught up to him. One of the reasons why it caught up to him is the 1990 World Cup. Argentina defending champions, tournaments being played in Italy. Napoli had already won another title by this point. They had become one of the top clubs in the world by this stage. And for Napoli to be that club, it's kind of crazy. They won Serie A going into that World Cup. He lifted the second Serie A title, the second Scudetto, in the early summer, late spring of 1990. He had won the UEFA Cup by this point, the precursor to the Europa League. first European title for Napoli. So going into the 1990 World Cup, he was the biggest star in the world in this game. He was loved and hated as well. The team wasn't as good as they were in 1986. They were 4 years older. They kept a lot of people. They had added a few new faces like Claudio Canigia. They lost their opening match against Cameroon, a historic match. Their goalkeeper broke his leg. Sergio Goycochea took over, became a penalty shootout hero. Argentina needed some penalty shootouts to get as far as they did in this tournament because they just weren't the same. Diego wasn't the same. He was beat up. He got himself into as good of shape as he could. He got off drugs. He knew the effect it was having on him. But Argentina and the World Cup meant even more to him. And he found a way to get clean, stay clean, get into, again, as good of a physical condition as he could be at that stage. Which wasn't the same as in 1986. He was 4 years older and he'd been beaten up by this point. And he'd beaten himself up by this point as well. But he still had magic. The assist against Brazil in the tournament in the round of 16. Argentina scraped into the round of 16. The assist to Canigia, just brilliant. It's one of the iconic plays of Argentine soccer history. And it gets them eventually to the semifinals. Argentina against Italy, the host country, in Naples. First off, how do the organizers of this tournament in Italy have any possibility that this match would happen? Argentina in Naples against Italy. How can you even allow that to be a possibility? I don't know if they could have avoided it, but they should have. Anything that would have been possible to avoid this, they should have, because it set up an impossible cauldron. And Maradona played into it. Remember, he was a man against the world at this point. He had a giant chip on his shoulder. That bronca was out of control at times. He had a lot of hatred for the rest of Italy because of the way that Napoli was treated, the way that he was treated. By this point, he was hated by the rest of the league because he took a team that should not have been there, according to people, and he took them to the top twice. So he fed into that. And there was a lot of talk before this tournament and just in the way that Napoli was treated and the way that Neapolitans felt. There was a lot of talk about from the north looking at the south, like they're not part of Italy. These things were said. These things were chanted in stadiums. They're not really part of Italy. So Maradona played into that. He said it. He said Naples is different. He urged the fans of Naples to root for Argentina, his country, against their country. Even if they were looked down upon in it, it was still their country. So you had a lot of fans torn. You had some fans turn on him that were Napoli fans. You had people just upset. You had people understand what he was saying and doing, but still not like it. You had people that followed him blindly. Like it was a crazy atmosphere in the semifinal. The rest of the country in Italy saw it as betrayal. The media attacked him. Politicians called him a virus. Then Argentina beat Italy and knocked them out of their own World Cup. Took penalties to do it. Maradona converted a penalty. Argentina won. He raised his arms to the crowd. He celebrated. He ended Italy's dream of winning the World Cup that they were hosting. And Italy never forgave him. Go watch the reaction in the final to the Argentine national anthem. If you haven't seen that, go watch it. Listen to it. Hear the whistles. Hear the jeers. And watch Maradona's face. Read his lips. You probably know the phrase in Spanish that I can't say here. You probably know it. And you can probably read his lips and tell what he's saying. Well, they lost in the final. Poorly refereed game. I think West Germany was the better team, even if it took a dive and some other shenanigans for West Germany to win. They won on a penalty. Argentina was a shell of themselves by this point. Maradona was a shell of himself by this point. I think they kind of left everything in Naples winning that semifinal, and they just couldn't do it in the final. Tears afterwards from Maradona and from the Argentines. They had went to back-to-back finals with West Germany. The Germans won this one. Then he had to stay in Italy and play for Napoli. And that was not easy, because by this point, one, he was despondent over not winning the tournament. Two, his body was beat up. Three, he wanted out of the trappings of Naples. He felt like a prisoner. He wanted the club to sell him. He begged for the club to sell him. He had reportedly made a deal with the club's president to have him be sold if they won the UEFA Cup. Well, the president said ultimately he wasn't going to do it, after promising it, allegedly. The president in the Maradona documentary said that he was, in many ways, Diego's jailer. Well, jail really became a real conversation, because by this stage, it was kind of an open secret that he was struggling with drugs. It was kind of an open secret that he was fraternizing with the Camorra. It was an open secret that there were a lot of things that could be used against him. So after the World Cup, that next season, the establishment moved to destroy him. The Federation, the police, the tax authorities, all after him. The media, after him. He said, after we beat Italy, they decided to ruin me, and they did. In March of 1991, now, he ruined himself, let's be fair, but there were a lot of people waiting for it and making sure that it happened. March of 1991, he tested positive for cocaine. He was banned 15 months. He left the country in disgrace. He said, they built me up so high that the fall had to be spectacular. Well, it was. I mean, he's banned from playing the game that is everything to him for 15 months. He goes back to Argentina in disgrace. He gives in more to the drugs. It was a total mess. The club crumbled as well. By 2004, the club had gone bankrupt. So 13 years after Diego was caught with cocaine in his system and had played his last game for the club, 13 years later, the club went bankrupt. They were forced to restart as a brand new entity in a lot of ways. It took years for them to get back to what they had been. They eventually did win the Serie A again. And when they did in 2023, banners across the city said, "You see, Diego, we did it again." And he was part of it. And by that point, he'd been gone for 3 years. But you could feel his presence at that stage. And songs were sung about him. Tributes were made to him during that title run for Napoli. Just amazing. And the impact that he had on the city of Naples, it's kind of mind-blowing. Really. So he's banned for 15 months. When that is done, he ends up going to play in Spain again with Sevilla, with his old manager Carlos Bilardo from the Argentine national team. It's pretty good, but not that good. He struggles. He's combative. He's having issues. He's still struggling with drugs. He's overweight. He has a pretty good season. It's only one season. He goes back to Argentina. He plays a handful of games with Newell's Old Boys. Even though it was just a handful of games, I think it was six. He's beloved in Rosario for playing for that club. The reaction when he went there as the manager of Gimnasia, it's unbelievable to see. He didn't even play double-digit games there. But the impact he had at Newell's Old Boys is crazy. Eventually, you knew he had to end up back at Boca Juniors, and he did. He still had moments. They were fewer and more time in between them, but he still had some moments. He oftentimes would have issues off the field. He would oftentimes leave for a while and come back. But he kept sticking around because the game was everything to him. The national team was as well, and by this point, he'd been gone from the national team for a long time. 1993, he got the call. The national team was on the brink of missing the 1994 World Cup. He returned. He dragged them through a interconfederational playoff against Australia, barely qualifying. He wasn't fit. He was nowhere near it. But it was his presence, is the myth in a lot of ways. His leadership carried this team through. They were not good in that playoff, but they scraped by. Well, with a year's time to improve and to know that Diego was going to do everything he possibly could to contribute to this team. I mean, the videos of him training out in the wilderness in Argentina, wearing a Michael Jordan Dream Team jersey, by the way, which is just incredible. The videos of this, it's crazy. It's like Rocky training in Siberia. Like, it's what it felt like. So by the time you get to the actual 1994 World Cup in the United States, this Argentine team was stacked. Batistuta, Caniggia, Simeone, Redondo. Entirely new generation with Diego as captain. He trained harder than anybody. And they, just like this last Argentine team, played for Messi. This Argentine team played for Diego. They looked unstoppable in their first two games. They crushed Greece 4-0. Maradona scored. He screamed into the camera. I mean, it was wild. It was joyful. It was chaotic. It's unhinged. They beat Nigeria in a classic. That Nigerian team was so good. They beat them 2-1. It was an unbelievable match. And then afterwards, Diego was chosen for a drugs test. And a banned stimulant. It was in a U.S. diet supplement. Something you could get at GNC. According to Diego and his people at the time, and this was the only thing that he tested positive for. I think a lot of people have twisted the story into a million different things. But he tested positive for the stimulant. It was in a fat-burning, you know, supplement. And according to his people at the time, the stimulant that was in the U.S. version was not in the Argentine version that he had been taking. So when they ran out, when they got to the country, went to GNC, grabbed, you know, the same thing, but it wasn't the same thing. So he tests positive. He's kicked out of the tournament in disgrace again. He said, they cut off my legs. The team fell apart. They had done enough in the first two games. They lost the third group game. They lost in the first knockout game. They were a shell of themselves without their soul. And Maradona was that. And that was his last appearance for the Argentine national team. It was in a great game against Nigeria, but the last thing that you see of Maradona in an Argentine shirt in a game that mattered was being led to a drug test. He still played for a little while after that with Boca Juniors. He would, again, it was fits and starts. He had injuries. He had struggles off the field. He would come back for a while. He would go away for a while. He eventually retired or eventually left the game. I don't know if he ever truly like retired until November 10th, 2001. And they had a farewell match at La Bombonera in Buenos Aires, the home of Boca Juniors, packed to the brim. 55,000 people there by the stage gathered for the farewell. After the kind of farewell game, he took the microphone and, I mean, he's tears streaming down his face. And in Spanish, he said, I made mistakes and I paid for them. But the ball didn't get stained. The ball doesn't get stained. He said, La pelota no se mancha. He admitted that he was flawed as a man. He admitted that, you know, these mistakes were his. And all of that said, as a player, he overcame all of it and transcended all of it and was eternal.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over. And I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
The legacy of Diego Maradona is, I don't know how to describe, honestly. I think it hit me maybe the most. And by this point, you know, it's crazy how seeing him play changed my life. I never got to meet him. I never got a chance to see him play. I wouldn't have gotten into soccer if it wasn't for Diego Maradona. So I knew it was big. I mean, it changed my life. I knew I wasn't the only one. I watched every game in that 1990 World Cup and rooted for Argentina the whole way. I was so happy to see him back in 1994 and so sad that he ended up not being able to finish that tournament. And it was hard to keep up with what was going on with him after that. He, you know, would pop up at different times to see his reaction. In 2006, in Germany, when Lionel Messi played his first World Cup match, to see Diego's face, his facial expressions, I mean, he looks like a kid again. He was so happy. And Messi, even as a teenager, was kind of seen as the possible heir. There'd been a lot of heirs to Maradona. There hadn't really been one until Leo. Seeing Maradona's reaction to Messi wearing the shirt at a World Cup for the first time is really cool. Then, out of all the crazy things, Diego Maradona becomes the Argentine national team manager. Going into 2010, it's funny, the crazy parallels, because just like in 1993, like he came back out of the wilderness to play and help Argentina through. In 2009, they weren't going to qualify. They were going to miss the World Cup. And he came back as manager, and just through like sheer will and myth and I don't know. I mean, it's not like he was a brilliant tactician or anything at this point, but they somehow found a way. Like the scenes in the torrential downpour where Martin Palermo scores a goal, and Palermo, like, nobody really considered Palermo a real possibility for this team at this point, but Diego loved him, and Palermo was going to repay that, and he did. He scored a goal that helped get Argentina to the World Cup, and seeing Diego, I mean, you know, overweight at this point, like, dive and slide on his belly, like, across the rain-soaked field, it's just, again, joy. Like, even at this, he can't play at this point, and he's, you know, I mean, he's doing the best he can as a manager, but he's not a manager. He didn't have the discipline to do that well. He's still bringing joy to people. He took that team to the World Cup, and they played very wide open, way too wide open. Defense wasn't really something that he worried about a whole lot. They had some great moments in that tournament. He managed Lionel Messi, and he helped Lionel Messi deal with the pressure of that tournament. It was too much for Leo at that time. The team wasn't good enough. They didn't have enough of a foundation, and Diego's to blame for that partially. And they end up getting knocked out in the quarterfinals by Germany badly. It was a wild experiment for Maradona to manage the Argentine national team, but he did at a World Cup. The celebrations, the hugs, the joy, he brought that to the team again. He bounced around. He managed in the Middle East. He managed in Mexico, which is crazy, with Dorados. And he eventually came back, and it felt weird watching the Argentine League by this point, as I'm, you know, a commentator with Atlanta United, and he gets the job at Gimnasia. And to watch Gimnasia go around the country and play matches, and whenever they would show up in these road games for them, the reception that Diego got. And he wasn't in good health by this point of his life. And, you know, I mean, his body was worn out. His heart was worn out. I mean, everything was worn out by this point. But he still moved people. And to see people, I mean, like, giving him essentially thrones and all the gifts. And, like, the game where Gimnasia went and played at Boca. The game in Rosario against Newell's. I mean, it was a day of celebration. When they arrived the night before at the hotel, they're singing in the streets all night. You knew that it probably wasn't gonna last a whole lot longer. COVID hit. His appearances became a little more sporadic by this stage. He was in poor health. There was I think on his birthday in 2020, and there were, I believe their fans were back in stadiums, at least in small numbers by this stage. They brought him out celebrating his birthday, and he did not look well. And that was this time of year in 2020. And it was less than a month later that he was gone. He passed away at the age of 60 on November 25th, 2020. I remember hosting SDHAM that morning. And as I often did at that time, I had Te Ise, the Argentine sports network, up on the TV in front of me. I didn't have the sound up. And there were some reports that were, it wasn't the first time, by the way, that there had been reports of Diego being in poor health. And I'm honestly really thankful that, one, I just saw it, like, as I was getting ready to sign off the show. And I had seen it previously, so I didn't really know, or didn't take it super seriously at the time. I'm glad I signed off the show and didn't stay on. It was about 20-30 minutes later that the reports were, you know, verified, and then not long after that. And you can watch the videos of people reacting to this in full time in Argentina. The word came out that he was gone, that he had passed away. And the reaction was immediate, and it was worldwide. Tens of thousands filled the streets in Argentina, in Naples. His coffin, draped in the blue and white flag, lay in the Casa Rosada. Fans wept. River Plate and Boca fans hugged in the streets and cried together. They chanted. Fans threw their jerseys onto the coffin like offerings. In Naples, candles lit the alleys under his murals. Church bells rang. Within days, the San Paolo, the stadium in Naples, was renamed the Stadio Diego Armando Maradona. Two cities, an ocean apart, they were united in mourning Diego. The reactions around the world, the celebrations of him that next weekend of games worldwide, the reaction in Naples, Messi, of course, Messi was going to score on this day, right? You knew that it was going to happen. And he had taken it out of the frame, a match-worn Maradona jersey from Newell's Old Boys, Messi's club, as a boy. He took it out of the frame. He put it on. He wore it under his Barcelona jersey. And after he scored, he took it off. Took off the Barcelona jersey and had the Newell's jersey on. That was Diego's. And pointed to the sky. Very, very moving for anybody who loves the game, honestly. Diego's influence lives in every generation since he started playing. Messi said he was the greatest. Napoli stars like Lorenzo Insigne, he kissed his tattoo of Maradona after scoring soon after his passing. Every kid on a dirt pitch chasing magic with bare feet evokes Diego Maradona. Every kid, I mean, including me, who had a chance to see him play, was changed by his genius. He was proof that genius doesn't need privilege, just passion. In 2022, Argentina won the World Cup again, the first World Cup after he passed away. They won. Lionel Messi, wearing that iconic number 10, he lifted the same trophy that Diego once held. Watch the video of a much older Diego Maradona later in his life being handed the World Cup trophy and his reaction to it. It's incredible. And you could kind of see that look on Messi's face. The bit where Messi is given his medal and is walking by the trophy and he can't resist giving it a kiss. I mean, it shows you what this means. There were flags with Maradona's face on them in the stadium in Qatar that day. Messi said, "This is for everyone, especially for Diego." He was there. You know he was. And he was there for all of the celebrations for Argentina winning that World Cup, which went on for days and days and days. The scenes of Argentina coming unglued after winning that World Cup are epic. And wouldn't you know it, just like it always happens. So in 1986, Maradona won the World Cup for Argentina in Mexico. And then the next season went back to Italy and won Serie A with Napoli. Well, Argentina won the World Cup. Now, this was in the middle of the 2022-2023 season because it was in the winter time. But they win the World Cup. And that season, Napoli won Serie A. The celebrations looked like 1987 and 1989 all over again. The murals of Diego glowed in candlelight. Old men wept. Young fans who had never seen him play, have only seen the highlights, they were singing, "Diego, Diego." The same message that you had in, you know, before, the same messages were out there. Like, Maradona affected Naples so deeply that he was there in 2023 when they won the title again. The game will always have a little bit of Diego in it, and it should. He was imperfect. He was volatile. He was human. He made tons of mistakes in his life. He was unforgettable, though. He made people feel. He made people believe. He said once, "If I die, I want to be born again as a footballer. And I want to be Diego Maradona again. I'm a player who gave joy to the people, and that's enough for me." That joy still lives. Every goal that just defies reason, every street game being played under a broken light, every kid who just dreams of being free, of being something more than they are, every kid who plays the sport, every person who feels the sport, still feels the influence of Diego Maradona. The game never stops. Neither do all the stories about it. Diego Armando Maradona. the genius, the rebel, the dreamer who showed the world that passion can make you immortal. For Atlanta Soccer Flashback, I'm Jason Longshore. Thank you for listening. Remember, la pelota no se mancha. Adios.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.